The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Well, for the final time in AFLW Season 6 and the Cats' fourth season, we are going to do the Cat Attack Podcast for Kerr's Hire. Lucky enough to be joined once again by star cat Renee Gehring. Hello, Renee.
Hello, Kingy. How are you going?
Yeah, been better. I'm coming to you from ISO. I didn't realise I'd be climbing the walls after, 72 hours. So I've got, not that I'm counting, but I have about 96 hours to go.
2 days to go, and it's not easy. No, certainly we feel for everyone when they're in that position, and at least you're up and about and able to do this, so that's a positive sign.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about the girls. Enough about me. The finish to the season unfortunately didn't go as we'd hoped. It was a great first half of footy, but in the end the Giants getting over the top of you and winning by 18 points. And 18 points is actually the biggest margin the girls lost by for the year. It's once again another game that has just been what could have been.
Yeah, it was really disappointing in the end, especially after that first half. I think all for many of us on the bench were like, we're on here. Even after the first quarter, really could have got a few more scores on the board and held them. A few little things that kept them in the game that first half, a couple of 50s and free kicks and things like that, which we could have avoided. But it really was... It was our game to take on, and we could have put them away, and we really didn't. And then, look, credit to the Oppo, they stepped up in that second half and got on top of us. And yeah, like the biggest scoreline against us this season, which is disappointing. We just didn't play our brand of footy in that second half, unfortunately.
Yeah, what changed?
I don't know. Obviously they stepped up their intensity, and I think that. Took the play. Of course, Staunton, obviously, kicking four girls isn't going to help you. But I think they just capitalised on opportunities and a few little things on our behalf that could have been tidied up and put the pressure on when we should have in that first half that kept them in it. And then I think that second half, we just lacked a bit of the intensity that we know that we can bring execution again. Capitalising. Look, credit to our defenders. There was times where it was in their forward half for large portions of time and didn't get score after score. But when we had it, particularly in that first quarter, inside 50s, well in our way, we just didn't make that difference on the scoreboard.
There's one positive you can take away from that is that Cora Staunton at age 40 is still having a massive impact, which tells me you've still got at least 7 years of AFLW left in you.
Oh, hey, there was a bit of a debate after the game whether she's 40 or 41. So, no, look, I think that's hope for everyone out there that there's people that can do it and well and truly do it well at her age. So, yeah, no, look, I'm not hanging out the boots as yet until I'm told to, Kingy. So, yeah, no, definitely looked to that and I was like, yep, she can do it. The rest of us can too.
Has the August planned start date for AFLW 7 thrown out your plans a little bit, given that you give birth sometime in May?
Yeah, oh, look, it's obviously if we had the same start date as this year, that was looking a lot better in terms of more likely to be right to go or to, I suppose, more of the season. If it is August, and it's going to certainly make things more difficult. But, again, it's that time of year where we're having those conversations and exit meetings, and I'll wait and see what the position of the club is for me personally and as the other girls will. And if they're happy to have me around, then I'll do all the work that I can to be ready as soon as I can be. But anyone that's been through becoming a mum, there's a process in it and everyone's different. That's the thing. I'm a bit of a control freak and I can't say I'll be ready at this point. You can aim for those things, but everyone's situation is really different. Like, I suppose, a rehab, you can put an approximate date, but you got to tick all the boxes and get through what you have to be able to get back out there.
What's your view on the August start date? And I suppose, what's the pervading view of your teammates? No doubt you've spoken, that's been spoken about in the change rooms.
Yeah, no, it has been spoken about. And I think from, this is speaking majority, I think that it's a, everyone wants to play more football. I think in the last due CBAs and so forth, we're pushing to play more games, and getting two seasons in 1 year potentially gets that. And I think it's probably more so the conversation is around having like a decision and having that rock solid, this is happening, this is when the preseason is going to start, go away and have your break, and this is when you're coming back. I suppose the fact that it's a little bit uncertain still, what it'll look like, when the draft will be, how it looks like for players that are potentially getting contracts or not, the movement, the new clubs, all of that side of things. If we had a bit more, it's definitely happening. I think that the AFL, alongside the AFLPA and so forth, will try and make a decision as soon as they can. And I think that's probably the, as soon as we can get a bit more certainty, that'll help players, the Irish girls as well, that are going home, and then are they coming back? There's lots of people in their rehab, people that will be wanting to know timelines and so forth. But again, yeah, more footy. Obviously, people get another contract when they'd be having an off-season normally. And there's a new CBA to come about as well.
Yep. It's a massive one for those, and thankfully Geelong not in that position with the extremely long-term injuries, but you've got the players, and Izzy Huntington's the one that immediately comes to mind, who does her knee on the eve of round one and finds herself potentially missing two seasons of footy.
Yeah, for sure. And there's been, there's been a large number of ACLs across the competition. As you say, we're lucky in the position that we had a really healthy list and finished with a healthy list at the end of the season, which is great for us that people are ready to go, and it'll be more performance and other things that are decided on people's contracts and so forth. But, yeah, for those girls, and I suppose that's from, I can look at a personal perspective, when I'm looking at the August start date, it does. It's like, oh, that's not as ideal as a later start could have been. But for those girls, the ACLs, it's the same thing. Like, you're looking at, I suppose that rehab through two seasons. But I suppose at the same time, it's also that rehab's going to be a year. So whether you've got mates around to train with for a larger portion of it, I suppose you can look at the positives that they're going to have girls around the club to be alongside them as they go through different major milestones in their recovery, rather than be doing it on their own in the gym or at the club when everyone else is off playing VFL or having a break. So I'm sure they'd love to be out there playing as soon as possible, but I think you can find positives in it as well.
When do you sit down with Dan Lowther, Brett Johnson and Ben Waller about your future and what it looks like and how it will look if it is an August start date? Is that something that's already been locked in terms of a conversation, or are they waiting to find out what the next step is with AFLW before having those chats?
Yeah, this week for our club, I think most clubs will do their exit meetings the week post-finishing. So for us, it's this week. So that'll be happening for all the girls, I think. For me, hopefully there's some sort of idea around whether I'm around the club or not. There'll be others where I think they'll find out the great information that they've got a lock-in contract no matter what for whatever start date. And then I think there has to be a level of question marks for some players, because I suppose the clubs all won't know necessarily player movements as yet with two new teams coming into the competition as well. So without knowing how much time they've got and whether girls are going to go play VFL or not as well, I think some of those conversations won't be able to be as final as potentially they might be in 3 or 4 weeks' time.
It's tipped the VFLW season on its head a little bit too, because girls that might have floated back and played, the last, I think they've got 9 games to go, the girls, so maybe they'll have a break for a couple of weeks and come back and play the second half of the season and potentially finals. And we know Geelong are going to be thereabouts in VFLW. Andrew Bruce is probably rejigging in his mind how it's all going to look, probably going forward with predominantly VFLW listed.
Yeah, I think so. I think that typically in the last few years there's been quite a few players rolling through. If everyone's needing to have a break that he's contracted for next AFLW season, I'd say, like from my perspective, that potentially there'll be less. I still think they'll still look at the girls that maybe didn't play as many games in the AFLW to get some games in, but potentially not as many, and that'll be across the board. But I also think of clubs like Hawthorn and Essendon as well, that potentially a large portion of their playing groups may get drafted to those clubs, and they've got a front up potentially to a preseason in June. So they'll be looking to try and balance that, I'm sure, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Just out of the weekend, I know there was some disappointment with the loss, but the great news was that Darcy Maloney got a Rising Star nomination, which I think is really good recognition for the year she had, despite I think she missed round one or two, just on reflection. Did she miss round two through the protocols?
Yeah, through the protocols and then one with the suspension later in the season. But overall, I think well and truly deserved. I think there could be a number of games that she could put hand up for that nomination. And, yeah, certainly seen significant growth in her. And both through the half forward and the midfield, she brings intensity and a real grunt around the ball, that grit that we love to see. And, yeah, a credit to her, the work she's been putting in off the in the off season has really shown. So,
yeah, hopefully it's just a launch pad for her to become the player that I think we expected her, well, we expect she will become, you know, high draft pick, obviously, in 2020, you know, coming into the 2021 season. And, yeah, fingers crossed. What was the mood post Friday night finishing 2-8? Were people able to reflect on the season? And as we touched on, 8 losses by 18 points or less, it could have been so much different. Of the girls happy to look at it as a great year in terms of, like, the competitiveness is there, but there's a real disappointment of, gee, if we had a jagged a couple, especially early, like I think of the Brisbane game in Brisbane, like what that might have done for the belief of the group.
Yeah, look, I think Dan, like, his messaging post-game was really trying to capture the fact that, like, we have had such growth and we're heading in the right direction and seeing a lot of things that we wanted to. Probably not as consistently as we had of liked, and not taking those games where we could have. And again, that was probably on the Friday night, like we could have and should have won that in the end, the way we came out and so forth. But amongst the playing group, and there was certainly a level of disappointment. And yeah, I think that the feeling in the room was quite slumber and pretty quiet and things like that, being disappointed with. That was another one we could have had. And I suppose the feelings of that built up from a few of those games that we just could have got over line and should have done a few things differently compared to, I suppose, those couple of those early losses where we walked away, yes, a loss, but we're playing the way that we'd wanted to, the brand that we wanted to, and showed, I think, a lot of people saw that within the group and saw the what we were putting out there. That there were significant improvements from previous seasons. So we want to be putting that out more consistently, and that will get the wins on the board. And we know that for the future, but it still hurts at the time.
Yeah. Phoebe McWilliams, I want to ask you about. She's 36. No indication about what her future holds, and no doubt that discussion to be held by the club as well. She'll still be 36 when the new season starts, if it starts in August. She turns 37 on August 31, but I suspect that if Phoebe wants to go on, I think she's done enough to say, yep, another year. And that will help, you know, with a bit of experience still in the group. It's still a young group and it probably still needs those wiser heads around.
Yeah, I think so. I think Phoebe's had a great season. We look at her previous years, and I think this year she's been getting scores on the board more often than not, and consistently being in that forward line and doing some great stuff around the ground as well. So I'm hoping she's putting her hand up to play again. And I think age is just a number in that way, that if you're putting it out in the field and you're playing your role, then what does it matter? Again, we look to Cora Staunton. Yeah, it's got to be what you bring to the team. Are you playing your role? And I think Phoebe has done that this year, well and truly.
Not sure when Best and Fairest Night is, but it'll be sometime probably in April.
Early April 9th, I think we're on for.
Okay, so it's a Saturday night?
Saturday,
April 9th. Okay, so there won't be I'm hoping you don't have any vision on vote cards and stuff like that. You weren't asked to do one, so I can talk to you about the BNF.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. No involvement in that.
All right. Can I give you my 1, 2, 3 and you can disagree with me if you like?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm happy to hear you out on this, Kingy. I'm terrible at this sort of thing and don't want to judge my teammates.
I think Maddie McMahon's going to become the first mother of three to win a AFL Club Best and Fairest. AFLW Club Best and Fairest.
Oh, hasn't she? She's had a very consistent year, so I certainly won't question you on that one.
I think Amy McDonald rolls in as runner-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, again, consistent year from Amy McDonald. Yep.
I think third's wide open.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure of who. That's going to be a really tough one. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not.
Come on, you got to put someone out there. We can give us a tie. We've had ties before.
actually, I wouldn't be surprised if Darcy Maloney actually, and I don't know how the voting system works and whether it's a bit like the men's where if you miss games, they're not factored in and it's your best X amount of games. If it's a similar system, I wouldn't be surprised if Darcy's too far away.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, actually. I'll have to check that. I think in VFL it was very similar to that, but I think AFLW, unfortunately, with the 10 games, I think it doesn't – I think from previous years it doesn't counter into the injuries and so forth. Liv Purcell, a couple of years ago, I think she finished third – might have been last year. She might have finished third because she missed the last couple of
The second half of the year, basically.
Something like that. Yeah. So potentially Darcy might miss out on that. In that regard, but
and I think Chantelle Emmonson will poll very well.
Yeah,
there's somebody that I tell you what, talk about reliable and sneak under the radar doing it as well.
Yeah, and that's it. And I think like, well, obviously BNFs at clubs are very differently done at from club to club, and from what I see compared to this, like when we look at the league votes and things like that. It's not just standout players, but it's people who are playing their role in their position. So not disposals, like you don't have to have the highest disposals to get votes in the best and fairest, but actually are you playing the role that your line coach wants you to do? And obviously the overall coach has their input in that each week as well.
Love to see Maddie McMahon as an All-Australian. I think she'll be in the squad. Well, actually, no, she'll definitely be. If she's not in the squad, there's something very, very wrong.
I think I saw you actually commenting on something on Twitter where Maddie McMahon wasn't in someone's team.
Yeah, Lauren Wood. Lauren Wood.
I'm gonna like it actually.
Lauren Wood from the Herald Sun.
Yeah.
But I only just said, is Maddie McMahon a little bit? And I think in Lauren's defence, had written stiff to miss, and Maddie McMahon was there, and I agreed. I said very stiff to miss. The only person I'm disappointed that didn't like it was Matt McMahon. Usually when there's something. Right. About Maddie, he's very quickly to like or retweet or something like that.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that he was quite active on Twitter. Actually, I'll have to keep an eye out. But yeah, no, I think hasn't she had a year and I hope she does. She's been in the squad once before, but missed out on the team from memory. So look, I hope she gets that recognition because she deserves it.
Right. The girls had silly Saturday, and some of the photos I saw that was a tourist theme, but you know, very poorly dressed tourists.
Yeah, a bit of tacky tourists. It was
tacky
Sunday,
tourists. That's
actually,
it.
I think I can't say I didn't get there here myself. Yeah. Couldn't get into the tacky attire. Wouldn't have suited, I don't think. No, I probably looked like I had a big pot belly and could have found an outfit. But no, I'll let the girls enjoy themselves. And they looked great. Like, actually, as a whole, it was lots of colour. And I think they had a really nice time just, spending quality time together and debriefing and enjoying some time away from the club.
Because expansion tells us that this group's not going to be together next year. And it's not going to be anyway because you're going to let go three players as per AFLW rules. But you suspect with the four expansion clubs, two in Victoria with Essendon and Hawthorn coming in, that there is going to be, once again, as there was, I think there was 9 list changes coming into this year and might not be as many as that, but there might be half a dozen that look a little bit different to next year.
Yeah, and look, I think, well, if we look at those 9 players, they all debuted, I think, within 2 games, which was a real positive out of the year. And I think there's so many positives when we reflect on the year that was, even we look aside from the win-loss, that's not what we need to focus on. But actually, yeah, all those positives and, yeah, those 9 getting a game and yeah, the side will look different next year as it does every year. Obviously, Danielle Higgins retiring on the weekend as well is one that's a definite. And then, it is that time of year, unfortunately, where, people find out that they may not be around for the following season. So, but it's exciting in the other way that you get drafts and see some of the new talent coming through.
I can understand why it didn't happen, but I would love Danny to have got a farewell game. I know you can't comment on that, but it would have been fantastic to see her get one more game. But do you do it at the sacrificing the development of maybe somebody else? But, you know, she was a pioneer as in terms of the VFL. You know, it's not like she's only been an AFLW listed player, but I would have thought 6 years might have brought her the opportunity to play one more, especially at home. But I also see the flip side of it. But you know, Danny's contribution can't be underestimated to the group. Came across as a very talented netballer. I think you know that story pretty well, Renee. Obviously, multiple premiership player at Newtown. That's what happens if you play netball at Newtown, for those who follow the local competition. But her, you know, obviously her football ability spoke for itself, especially in the early years, VFLW, and then obviously the first couple of AFLW seasons as well.
Yeah, she was a great contributor on and off field. And look, from what I understand, she's going to play some VFL after a little bit of a break. So I think whenever she does play her last game of football, whether it be this year or beyond, I'm sure she'll get all of us getting down there to support her and to try and give a big celebration for the career that she has had. She certainly got lots of nice messages and things. At our training on Thursday, a couple of people made some really nice speeches and she had a few words. As always, Dan had a few words to say herself. It was a really nice night. Obviously, I'm sure she would have loved to play. That's a given, like anyone would. But, yeah, hopefully she'll get her last VFL game that we can get around her and carry her off or something maybe. I'll put that out there.
Hopefully it's a grand final.
Hey, it would be great if it was a grand final. Yeah. I think there's a few girls in that team that are well and truly ready to play their grand final, so that'd be awesome.
Yeah, got a bit of work to do, the VFLW girls. They've dropped two in a row to Southern and Casey, who are thereabouts on the ladder. Casey unbeaten. So Casey, Essendon, Southern look to be the teams to beat at the moment. Be interesting to see what happens when they're having a weekend off this weekend for a bit of a rejig, and obviously we'll see some changes to lineups with AFLW finishing, and as we've touched on, the new season potentially starting in August will have a real impact on that. But we expect them to play finals, and hopefully they can have an impact. You know, but the thing is that they've played five at home. They're going to be the road warriors in the second half of the year.
I know. I did. I was talking to Flinny, Flinny Cundridge, who's one of our assistant coaches and development coaches at AFLW, and was saying at home again. Like, actually, they've just had 5 weeks at Geelong, which is nice for them all, not having to go too far. But yeah, I think it will be a bit of a travel once all the cricket season finishes. I think part of the reasoning she was saying that a lot of the
grounds fry up,
cricket grounds and so forth. Yep. But I think also you played the Saints and Casey are probably two teams you'd rather play at home. So that's a couple of wins there, not having to go to the other side of Melbourne.
Yeah. So I think they've got next ones at home, and then they're away, then they're home, and then their last six away. So, yeah, it's going to be a nice little – and, of course, you've got to travel, you know, when it's a bit darker coming home and all that sort of stuff. So motivation levels will hopefully remain high for those girls.
I'm sure they will. I think as they'll have a few girls coming through potentially, and as finals get closer, you do what you got to do, even in winter footy, hey?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure just on Danny Higgins too, what odds that Jason Woolley, the coach of Newtown and Chewell Netball A-grade, has reached out to Danny to see any interest in maybe, you know, hitting the bitumen again on it, or whatever it is, Plexi Pave on a Saturday afternoon?
Is potential. I wouldn't put it past her, actually, once she's done with footy. But, I think she'll – we've said it before that you miss playing a game you've played for half your life and more of your life than you've played footy. So I'm sure she'll get back to netball one day, and Newtown's her – well and truly her family club. So I'm sure they've got her coming there, if anywhere.
Absolutely. Renee, you're 31 weeks pregnant. This is the last time we'll chat before you become a mum for the first time. And – how excited are you as we've gone from starting this at, you know, basically at the halfway mark, this podcast series for 2022, to now being in the homeward stretch?
No, it is very exciting. It is the home stretch, and happy for him to come a couple of weeks early. I'll keep telling him it's all right. It's a couple of weeks early, as long as you're fully grown in there. But no, really excited. Tony, my husband, excited, ready to go, and it'll be a nice time, new chapter of our lives together. So, yeah.
Nursery set up?
Yeah, pretty much. We haven't got too much decorations and things like that, but we figure we can sort that out a bit later on. We've got the things that we need, we're told. I'm sure everyone has lots of advice for you, but we've got the basics down pat.
What are you most excited about becoming a mum?
I think it's like having the cuddles and my sister's got four kids, and every time I hang out with them, it's just nice playing with them and things like that. And then you got to leave and, walk around the supermarket with them and going shopping. And, so I think it'll be actually nice just to have our own little person that we can look after and we don't have to give back. Well, I suppose that happens at the moment. So I'm sure there's moments where you'd like to, when you're a crying baby in the middle of the night, let somebody else deal with that. But, no, I'm really looking forward to that.
You do realise too, and I'll give you a piece of advice being a father myself, Tony will pretend to be asleep.
Oh, he wears earplugs, so I'm sure he will well and truly pretend to be asleep.
He'll pretend to be asleep, but he'll be wide awake, having giving myself up here. But maybe there's been a couple of times where I've acted like I'm trying to sleep through an earthquake, and the better half might have had to have got up to a child that maybe might have been my turn. But
I hear early on, I think that it has to be that way. But as we get further on and the kids get older, I'm trying to give them a few elbows to share the load. But that's all right.
Absolutely. Hey, Renee, thank you so much for agreeing to be part of this podcast series. And we thank the Cats too for allowing you to be a part of it as well. It's been a different perspective for you this year, obviously, from the sideline, watching the rotations and trying not to be a spectator and making sure that things were actually running smoothly down on the bench. Did you ever get caught out?
No, look, there was moments where I had to think on the spot, that's for sure. I have a whole new respect for anyone doing that role in any game because it certainly has its moments. But, yeah, it was a lot of learning as well in that, that it does require a bit, a lot of thinking, and we need them to happen so you can have the fresh legs out there for the whole game. So it's an important role, Kingy, and one that will give credit to anyone that does it. Like all of those admin roles and all of the important people on the sidelines that get everyone out there doing their best work.
Well, hopefully we don't see you doing that until you're retired or part of a coaching staff, and that we are seeing you running around in the hoops again come August at AFLW level. It would be fantastic to see you back after giving birth. Wish you and Tony all the very best. Hope everything goes smoothly with the birth of your little one, and we see a bouncing baby boy in your arms being handed over to Tony as you run out into the ground in August to start a new AFLW season.
That would be a dream. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll do the work and we'll see how we go.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.